Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
Hey there, loyal listeners. Welcome to episode 153 of the Brew, Drink, Run podcast. My name is Lee.
This is Keith.
And I'm Andrew.
If this is your first time joining us, this week is a mini episode. Mini episodes, we geek out on one beer. Listen to the last episode and the next episode to get the full version of our show, where we also talk about homebrewing and running. If you like the show, don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you grab your podcast. And write a short review. Ratings and reviews help more people to find the show. Also, remember to tweet us at Twitter or on Facebook or on Instagram. We're at Brew Drink Run. This show's all about the beer. Keith, what are we drinking this week?
Today, we have some Clown Shoes, Brewing Company's Ohio Unidragon. This is the 2016 version. It appears that trying to decipher what makes this different from their regular Imperial Stout, because this is made exclusively for the state of Ohio. We did a little bit of research and kind of did some guesswork.
Not much.
A little bit, very quickly.
Just the research you need.
But anyways, it seems that they had a cap at maybe 11.5%. I mean, this was a version of the beer. Normally it's 12.5%, and in the past it was brewed and distributed there to be slightly lower in alcohol at 11.5%. Seems their laws have changed, so now they are allowed Clown Shoes to serve their normal beer. It seems that instead of doing that, they've continued to make this special beer for them and have just upped the ABV. It does say that it is made with rye, malt, and hops from the Ohio Hop Growers Guild. So there is a different Ohio connection, so that's why you have a brewery from Massachusetts making a beer exclusively for Ohio.
If you are from Ohio and you know that what we have said is just completely and totally wrong, don't forget to let us know on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and give us the real story. But hey, that's
and
where
if you're with Clown Shoes, let us know if we've guessed correctly.
That
I mean,
would be great.
If you happen to find this podcast, give us a shout out and let us know if we're idiots or if we got it right.
Andrew, you brought this beer in today. Number one, it's great to have Andrew back. I feel like we talk about Andrew on the show a lot, even though he hasn't been with us recently. Glad to have you in Studio F today. This is Studio F out on the beach.
Yeah, Studio TY type. Yeah,
Brew Drink Run East.
East.
Yeah. So it's nice to have you here with us today. But
Brew
Andrew,
Drink Run Shoreline.
Yeah. You brought this one with us. What's the story for you picking up this beer?
I was visiting in-laws in Cleveland and went to his local beer store, and it was the last one on the counter, and I had a box full of stuff. You know, you go somewhere, you get beer that you're not going to see in Georgia. So I had a box full of stuff, and the person behind the counter was like, "Hey, here's this. Have you seen this?" And I was like, "No, I'll take it." And it just was the last one, so I was real happy.
Beer karma usually dictates not to grab the last bottle, but that's usually if you're buying more than one. And if you pay it forward enough, when there's that last bottle there, that's when you get it back.
I mean, if no one buys the last bottle, it just becomes useless at some point.
Right.
So someone has to buy the last bottle on the shelf. And if you're visiting from somewhere else and see someone you can't get a hold of, yes, if you see 10 things that you can't get a hold of and you buy all 10,
that's bad.
That your karma points are going down.
Yeah.
Well, since Raymond's not here this week, Andrew, as our esteemed guest and fourth member of our dance troupe, what does this beer look like in a glass?
So to quote Raymond, it looks like a stout.
Nice.
It's dark in color. It does have a nice, I'll say, khaki head. Beige, khaki. And it's rather long lasting. I was surprising about that. So it's
definitely
got a lot of
big
proteins
and big
in there.
And frothy, and it's kind of clung to the glass. It's settled to a nice kind of small little layer, but a nice thicker ring around the edge. So just about exactly what you want in a beer like this.
No,
so
it looks good.
The aroma I like a lot. Keith, what are you getting on the nose of this beer? I feel like there's a lot going on, which I'm excited to see how that plays into the flavor.
Usually a lot of times with the Russian Imperial Stout, you get that big kind of licorice, big, dark, kind of malty aroma. This one has a little bit of that going on, but there's kind of like a almost like toasted, nutty quality going on in this beer that wouldn't normally expect out of the style, but I like the combination of the kind of alcohol, little bit of licorice, dark malt, and then that kind of nutty, toasty, you know, almost like a burnt biscuit kind of thing going on in there with those kind of big malts. So it's kind of got a pretty unique aroma. And I'm going to guess some of that's the rye, if it was brewed with rye. So it's going to have maybe that sort of, as opposed to a big spicy character, you're getting maybe more of this kind of toasty, roasty kind of thing going on.
Maybe, yeah.
Absolutely. I feel like you hit the big two things that were different in this for me, or that were signature, that the sweetness of the alcohol and that nuttiness, that that little bit of a smoke, little bit of a nuttiness. I'm excited to see how that plays in. I've noticed the guys are taking some sips over here. They're nodding their heads back and forth. Andrew has a mouthful of beer. So, Keith.
I feel like the taste really complements the style as it's supposed to be, but it's also got just a slight little bit of that that kind of toasted flavor to it. It's not as much as I get in the aroma, but big roasted malts, kind of little sharp bite, alcohol bite, and you got that kind of black licorice-y kind of almost anise kind of thing going on in there.
And you're not a licorice guy, right?
I'm not. I've come to appreciate this kind of flavor in some beers, and some more than others. There are examples of this style I know are well crafted, but they just have too much of a kind of a burnt licorice kind of flavor. And the one that stands out to me in my head, that for me, although I know it's high quality, I don't really like that much, is like Bell's Expedition. Just too much for me. I'm like I don't, you know, I get why people like it, but it's not for me. But this one doesn't cross that line. It's got a nice sweetness to it to kind of balance out all those big flavors. I like it. Andrew, what do you think?
The rye, in addition to everything you said, I'm partial to rye. It comes through a lot. It almost, not dirty so much, but like a fresh walnut kind of.
You know, I get that. Right there at the end, that kind of almost like a astringently kind of bitter little thing. I think I was attributing that to hops when I first tasted it. But yeah, that, you know, rye and hop bitterness can kind of interplay with each other. And so I was thinking of it in a hop profile sense, but actually it could really be the rye going on there.
I mean, because there's so much else going on that I would think would knock the hops way in the back, if at all, you know, so.
There's a really nice sweetness in this for me right in the middle of the tasting experience that I do get the licorice as well, but like with Keith, it's played really well into the other flavors. It's not dominant. It's not super cloying. It kind of lets it flow through the tasting pattern before you get to that more acidic finish with the bitterness units and if it is the rye, a little bit of spiciness, but not maybe what we'd attribute to rye in like a pale ale.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're looking at a pale ale or an IPA, that rye character, that big kind of spicy, sharp spiciness comes out a lot more than it's coming out here. And licorice to me is mild to moderate. So if that's a flavor profile that you don't like, this is and you live in Ohio, this is maybe a good choice for you to try and pick up.
But there is a really nice candy element to it that goes along with the nut. And even if it's not reading 100% licorice, if it's a little bit more of just that really nice kind of high sugar and some of the mottled kind of darker fruits in that as well.
Absolutely.
It's a nice, nice mix. And I got to tell you, I don't pick up a lot of Clown Shoes beers.
Really?
I don't either.
Oh, man, I am genuinely impressed with most of what they do.
At a good price point, that's something that I do notice about them a lot. I feel like their beers are pretty aggressively priced for their large format stuff as well.
I don't know. I mean, I think that with Clown Shoes, for me personally, I think early on, it was like the big stouts and the barley wines that I was really impressed with, and maybe some of their everyday beers. I was like, well, this is good, but I wasn't really thinking about buying six packs of them. And about 2 years ago or so, just started picking up more things, and occasionally they show up on our shelves, and I'm like, man, this IPA is outstanding. You know, I mean, like I feel like they've really upped their game over the past couple of years, but I've always been impressed with their big stouts. I think they're always really well done, big sweet robust flavors, and I don't mind that, you know, $8.99, $9.99, $11.99 price point.
So to piggyback, I'm the same way. If it's not a big beer of theirs, I normally don't go with it.
Right. Yeah. I will tell you though, I've been impressed with some, and you know, you don't see them very often, but every now and then you see some of their six pack beers. And of course there's the wit beer that they do a lot, but But every now and then you'll see an IPA come out or some other. They did a like a Belgian kind of esque IPA type mm-hmm. thing, and man, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I think I've had that.
You know, and I can't remember all the names. The names are almost too clever to remember.
Right. Yeah.
So you kind of just have to be in the moment when you're shopping and you're planning to pick up a few bottles, and you go, "Oh, I like Clown Shoes," but they're definitely one of those breweries where I associate the quality of what I've picked up with wanting to grab another one. So I'll try different things. So.
I remember when we first started seeing a lot of them in Savannah, Georgia, where we record, there were some of the brand or some of the labels that they put out. I couldn't quite tell if they were racist or misogynistic because they're kind of, you know, some of their stuff's a little harder edge in terms of how they present their beers. There was like one, the Tramp Stampy one. And
yeah.
There was some
stuff early on, I think. And they still do kind of just really weird off the wall kind of things.
But
so
they have this really distinct label art with the illustrations that I think for the most part is really fun.
Yeah.
I feel like they have a really... If I don't agree with some of the more fringy stuff, I think overall the sense of humor is great because you can't take it's beer, so why are you going to take it
too
terribly
seriously?
If you
take the more political or off color things that they've done too seriously, I think you'll pass on some of these things. It's in the same sense that, you know, like for people here in Georgia, you know, Sweetwater can do some really, like, you know, a kind of borderline, do we need another, you know, marijuana joke beer or another you know, women body part beer, you know, or that kind of thing, beer name. But I think that they've also matured a little bit over time.
Absolutely.
And I think that breweries at some point, they when you're young and just starting, it seems fun, and then at some point you kind of pull back a little bit.
Well, I feel like the beer demographic has shifted a lot too, where you do have a lot more women and a lot more minorities who are in the field working and are connoisseurs and drinkers who are out there too. You don't want to start alienating your best customers.
Yeah.
I remember with Clown Shoes, for me, it was the Clementine Wit beer that I had from them years ago that I really, really enjoyed, and that definitely opened me up to buying more of their beers. But I got to say, sometimes when I see something new, I just kind of glance over it, and I probably shouldn't. That's probably a bad move.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I'm the opposite. I picked up enough things where I was just, you know, I poured it, and I was like, holy crap, this is good, you know. I'll tell you what, we never really talked about what we're trying to do, what the style of beer. So do we have any notes about what a Russian Imperial Stout is supposed to be? Or its general style guidelines, whether that be from Beer Advocate or any other. Lee's typing away. He's frantically putting Google to show me Russian Imperial Stout.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, that is something that we're trying to do on these mini episodes now. And this, I feel like, is an interesting one to talk about with the Russian Imperial Stout, because
there's some elements that are not traditional, but you know, people... You can easily lump a Russian Imperial Stout with an American Imperial Stout, with any kind of stout, and they are actually very kind of distinctly different in style.
Yep. So this is the Russian Imperial Stout style profile from Brew Your Own, the homebrewing magazine. BYO.com, if you want to check out what they do online. You can also subscribe as well. So this is their style profile. Dark as winter night in Siberia and big as Mother Russia, Russian Imperial Stout is a real challenge for homebrewers. So people tend to associate the nuances with heavy, strong-flavored food or beverages. I feel like this is like a lot of background information. I really should have sourced this a little. Man, this goes on and on and on. Keith, why don't you speak to your notes on Russian Imperial Stout so we'll find out something more succinct to follow up on that.
Generally, I mean, it's, you know, big, dark beer, obviously, kind of thick feel, mouth feel. The flavors tend to be kind of robust malt, a little less sweet, a little more burnt, dark fruit flavors, licorice, alcohol, the kind of alcohol coming through is a strong part of that. So you're looking at beers that are generally going to be over, I'm going to guess that the ABV, I don't know the rules, but I'm going to guess it's somewhere between 8 and 12%.
Nailed it.
Dude, seriously, how did you do that?
I don't know. I'm just guessing. I don't know. I mean, it's just, that's usually the range.
I should
ten percent.
That was absolutely perfect. I mean, it's not even like...
Was I actually like, were you reading a description?
Oh. Yeah, the BJCP guide.
Right down here at the bottom. 8 to 12.
8 to 12, yeah. There you go.
So the BJCP is the style guides for beer judges for their certification program. They have a stout category. Russian Imperial is a subsection of that stout category. And like Keith just said, we're talking about an ABV of 8 to 12%. They've got some IBU guidelines too. I mean, 50 to 90. Obviously, this is not a super hop forward thing, but you can put
The bitterness on the back end, I think, is designed to sort of balance things out a little bit.
Yeah. And if we go to the overall impression section, an intensely flavored big dark ale, roasty, fruity, and bittersweet, with a noticeable alcohol presence. Dark fruit flavors meld with roasty, burnt, or almost tar-like sensations, like a black barley wine, with every dimension of flavor coming into play.
Yep.
Every dimension of flavor.
Every dimension
of
flavor.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, you can't miss.
All of a sudden, this beer makes a lot more sense.
You nailed it.
Yes, exactly. But I was more, yes, you could ramble on about the impression, but when you hit the ABV perfectly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's... That's just what I've seen, you know. I mean, I see a lot of beers 12, around.
5,
yeah,
so, you
there
know.
You go. So, well, there, yeah, they're a little bit out of the range.
We're going back in time. Keith's spreadsheet. Let's do this, Andrew. Get ready to do this.
Yeah. Andrew's looking real scared, you guys.
I'm gonna ruin Raven's record.
It's the part of our mini episode where we turn to Keith's epic spreadsheet. Keith's epic spreadsheet is where he has logged notes on pretty much close to every beer he's had to have the chance to try over the years. It's not 100% complete. We've talked about that before. There was a trip to Europe. I think there were some notes missing on.
Well, that it was before the list started. But yes, there's certainly beers that I've had that I did not document.
Yeah. Unfortunately for all of us. So it's only at, you know... whatever it is, 3 million and change. I always forget. I'm not going to look it up this episode. Listen to a previous one where I talk about it. All right.
Yes, just go re-download that episode.
In this part of the show, I read a review from Keith's spreadsheet and see if our special guest, Andrew, can guess which beer it is based on the description. If needed, we will give some hints, but I got a feeling he's going to do okay this week. Andrew, are you ready?
Let's go.
This is an American Double Imperial IPA. All right. I'm throwing you a little
so
bit
far.
Of a curveball. We're not having a Russian Imperial Stout this time. This is easily the best IPA I've had from this brewery. There is a solid mix of citrus and pine in the hop profile. The malt base is sweet and a bit bready with a touch of caramel coming out here and there. A mild amount of bitterness on the finish rounds out this tasty double IPA, 4 out of 5, A-.
So my brewery guess is Clown Shoes.
I wouldn't either confirm or deny your
right. So it's Clown Shoes beer.
Right. So I've got, because there's got to be some sort of connection. I've listened to 152 episodes. There is always a connection.
I'm so sorry.
I've run a lot. Come on. I'm sure I've had the beer, because if it's a special IPA and it's a double, I know I've had it, but I couldn't,
you know, I'm sure I've said those things, but I couldn't remember I can't remember the name of, but
I'm pretty
like
sure
six
this is a regular release.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is a special beer. I think this is it's listed as being rotating on your spreadsheet, but I'm pretty sure I've seen it recently.
Yeah, I don't update that very much, so this could be something that's been retired, certainly depending on when I wrote the review, and that was a pretty short review, so I'm gonna guess
older.
That it would be a little bit older.
I definitely know it's a Clown Shoes double
Clown
IPA.
Shoes, double IPA. There may be space-like elements on the label, if I'm remembering correctly.
I think I know what it is.
I can see the label now. I can see the label you're describing in your head, but I can't think of the name of the beer.
Keith, do you want to give it a shot and see if you remember?
Was it Space Cake?
Not Space Cake.
Okay.
And that actually may be the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Galactica.
Oh,
okay.
That's still around.
Yeah,
right?
That is. That's not that old. But
that wasn't actually the beer
I was
thinking
of,
though.
Exactly the beer I was talking about earlier when I said, you know, I gave something an everyday looking beer in a 22-ounce bottle another shot.
Right.
You know, that wasn't a big stout or barley wine from them. And I was like, whoa, maybe I need to start picking these up again.
Right.
You
know? All right. So, with a big beer like this, with a Russian Imperial Stout, I always like to come back to it at the end of the episode. I mean, not that we've been talking for, you know, about 20 minutes or so since we poured the beer out. And I feel like with most of these, getting them when they're getting fresh out of the fridge, it's a little hard to really get
right.
the complete flavor experience yeah. because there's still a little bit of harshness coming yes. out of that. So if you guys don't mind, take another little sip, mm-hmm. warm up your glass a little bit if it needs it, cradle it, love it, caress it, and then see if your notes have changed. Is anything different coming out, Andrew?
I won't say the flavors are all still there, but with the higher temperature, they seem to meld together yeah. a little bit better than they did before. Before, there was a lot of sharpness mm-hmm. in the different flavors we can taste. Now, they all kind of seem to be rolled up.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit more of a caramel note in there that yeah. I wasn't getting before, almost like... Think about milk duds or something like that. Not
I think it's definitely that candy flavor I was yeah. thinking, yeah. but it's just coming a little bit
so,
more.
So maybe
fore.
You were keyed in on that earlier, and me less so, and now it's sort of opened up for me as it's warmed up a bit. But yeah, I get more of a kind of caramel, chocolatey note going on that I didn't get before.
Also, as the carbonation fades, I think that's another big part of a beer right. like this too. How it becomes right. more of a sipper experience, yeah. almost mm-hmm. more of a
well,
cocktail.
Well, coats the mouth more as it opens up, and, yep. and the carbonation kind of fades out as it's been. In you know in the air and aerated a little bit and yeah you get more fuller you know flavor sensation
and I feel like that carbonation does often just you know the brightness of it
yeah.
kind of accentuates some of the more nuanced lighter flavors yeah. a little bit and so this is really it turns into for me a little bit more of an old ale almost of a blend
yeah.
kind
good,
of
yeah,
thing
good
like
call.
You're getting
mm-hmm.
Just kind of a more like a more muddled experience in a way,
yeah, it's
but
not,
it's still very tasty.
Yeah, I mean, to call this a classic distinct Russian Imperial Stout would be wrong, but it is definitely a high-quality beer.
Well, to call it a roasty barley wine, which is what you right. know the notes talk about, it's a roasty barley wine.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Now it's a little more along the lines yeah. of a roasty mm-hmm. barley wine at this temperature. So,
all right, so Ohio Unidragon, not Blade Dragon or...
Unidragon, yeah.
Ohio yeah. Unidragon from Clown Shoes. Russian Imperial Stouts. Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, hey, Untappd, wherever. Let us know about your favorite Russian Imperial Stout. Lord knows there are a lot of them out yeah. there, and beer geeks tend to get super nerdy about them. So if you've got your own favorite, be sure to let us know. For more about us and Brew Drink Run, go to brewdrinkrun.com. Follow us on Twitter at brewdrinkrun or on Instagram at brewdrinkrun or on Facebook at facebook.com/brewdrinkrun. Plus, we're all on Untappd. If you want to be a part of the show, email us at team@brewdrinkrun.com. Let us know about your home brewing, your running training, or your favorite place to grab a beer. You can also call us at 781-76-DRINK, 781-763-7465, and you could hear yourself on the show. What could be better than that? We've got Brew Drink Run t-shirts and technical running shirts available on our website. Click on the store link. Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you on the next episode. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh,
it's the next episode already. Welcome back.
It's like Raymond's here.
It's like Raymond's here. What do we do now?
Classic Andrew.
The difference is he actually won't miss this.
No, yeah.
He has no idea. Yeah, we have no idea we're making fun of him.
Yeah, no. I spoke to him today, and he was like, I was going to listen on that last episode, but I decided not to. I was like, oh, that makes sense.